This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ojas Rege, who's the Vice President of Strategy for a company called Mobile Iron. Ojas, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, John.
It's just kind of a hard thing to pronounce. Mobile Iron, just like it sounds, mobileiron.com. That's where people can go for more information?
Absolutely.
Great. The reason I brought this gentleman in the studio is because he flew in last night on the red eye. He gave a talk this morning, and I said, let's grab that guy. We grabbed him. He's flying out tonight. So it's like a little migration of the salmon. They come in, they come out. You got to grab them from the river when they come up river. The same thing with Ojas here. I want to talk about mobile strategy, managing mobile devices, Apple devices, Android devices, and from the perspective of a federal IT manager, what can you learn from Ojas? What can you learn from Mobile Iron? And if you're considering adding mobile devices, mobile device management to your bag of tricks, maybe he can point you to the right direction, maybe a blog or some kind of a seminar coming up, maybe a webinar that you can learn more from Mobile Iron about managing mobile devices. Many of our listeners hear the name and they go, wow, that's kind of a strange name. He doesn't sound like a foreigner. What's your background, though? Just maybe you can tell us where you're from and how you wound up working for Mobile Iron.
Absolutely. So I guess turning the clock way back, Indian in origin, grew up in Canada, but born in Philadelphia. So learned how to watch hockey and love hockey while it's up in Canada.
Flyers fan?
No, oh. I was a Montreal Canadiens fan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
First hockey game I ever saw was the 76 final where Montreal beat Philadelphia. So in any case, came back to the U.S. To go to college and had two, I think, big ahas with technology. One was when I was in school as an engineer and realized that tech was what I wanted to do. So my first job out of school back in 1988 was with Oracle.
Yeah.
When they were just a little bit smaller than they are now. I think we had about 1,000 people when I started. But the next aha, which is the aha that's led me to sit here with you today, is in 2000, I got into mobile. So I joined
early bird.
Yeah, early bird. This was in the Palm 5 day, and I still got my Palm 5. I'll still put the user experience of that thing up against anyone.
Bury me with my Palm 5.
Yeah, exactly. But I was responsible for products at a company called AvantGo, which was one of the first companies really in the mobile space. And it was Palm 5s, pocket PCs. It was before you had smartphones, right? RIM was the old RIM devices. So it was a very different world.
Canadian company, by the way. RIM, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, RIM, absolutely. Canadian company. So I was there for 5 years. I think we accomplished some really interesting, innovative stuff in the early days. Most people that actually had a Palm 5 at the time had used the product one time or another. Went and did something very different. Went to Yahoo for 3 years and was responsible for mobile products on a consumer side.
And well, that's quite a stretch from Oracle, huh?
Yeah. But that's the fun part about mobile, which is I think you've always got a foot in enterprise and a foot in consumer.
Well, Oracle, enterprise, right?
Yeah,
and then Oracle. You say, no, go the other way. That's,
exactly.
That's amazing.
And now, I'm sure we'll talk about this today, so much of what happens on the consumer side is driving the behavior in every agency that I know, right, as they look at mobility. But what brought me to Mobile Iron was in the beginning of 2008, I decided it was time to go back and go early stage startup. And so I heard about a company through a contact that I had on the board that was doing something very interesting in mobile enterprise. So I went and talked to our CEO, who's still our CEO, Bob Tinker, and he refused to tell me anything about the company because it was in stealth mode, right? So I had a great lunch, learned nothing. But I said, this guy's smart. So got to know them a little bit better. And this was, remember, in the early days, right? This is before the App Store even existed. So I started Mobile Iron a little bit over 4 years ago, right when we started building the first generation of the product. And we had a very specific view back then that was not mainstream. Because remember, that was a BlackBerry world. Maybe there was a little
especially bit. Especially in this
town. Oh, and yeah, in D.C., I mean, that's all you found, right? I mean, and not only that, BlackBerry, it was not only adopted, but it was by far the strong preference, right? You were someone if you had a BlackBerry. It was not a multi-OS world. There was no apps. The App Store didn't even exist. Apple hadn't launched the App Store yet. But we had a fundamental belief that multi-OS was going to be the standard, that apps were going to really be the core way.
Well, you must have had a pretty good crystal ball back then.
and the third thing was that it was all about consumerized technology. So when we actually launched the first version of MobileIron in 2009, it already had an enterprise app store. It had privacy policies. It had BYOD controls. It had all these things, even though arguably in 2009, they hadn't really hit mainstream yet. So I was responsible for the product team as well as the marketing team and the strategy. And now, 4 years later, we're in a position where we've got 3,000 customers, very strong presence in the government side as well as the commercial side. And, you know, got to say, you know, when you're a startup, you need a lot of planning. You need a little bit of luck. Our luck was that the summer we launched, the first encrypted iPhone came out, summer of 2009.
Wow, that's great. So you have experience with large enterprises and consumers and the transition. You know, because I'm a lot older than you, I can remember back years ago, I remember people coming up with programmable calculators, which was a big deal, 1971. And then I remember people waltzing in the office with personal computers because they could do spreadsheets, and that was a big deal. Yeah. And then you had to figure out how to connect the personal computer to the network, and then fighting and screaming, and the guys down the hall on the raised floor. And then all of a sudden, it became standard. And what's happened in the federal government is like, after the horse he's gone out of the barn, then they come up with FDDI, which is a Federal Device Compliance Standards for the desktops. This is 2007. Well, here we are in the middle of this big tsunami of people bringing consumer devices into the office. I think there's got to be some kind of policy or some kind of way to control it before malicious code becomes everywhere and maybe people start getting attacked to their mobile devices.
Well, you know, there's a real challenge here, and it's something that Fed wrestles with, and honestly, every IT department wrestles with. This technology, this new stack of technology, it moves at a pace that is so much faster than any technology that organizations have deployed in the past. So you're talking life cycles of technology between 6 to 18 months.
Phew.
You know, not
That's
3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So if you spend 6 months putting the policy and the standards together, well, you know what? You just put policy and standards together for the last generation of technology. So it's a new mindset, right? It's almost a new capability set that you have to build up. Mobile IT is what we call it. It works differently than regular IT.
It's different rules. I think it's good that we learn from our mistakes and trying to change. And I mean, there's all kinds of issues that pop up. In doing my research for this interview, I read an article in eWeek. And now this may surprise listeners, it may surprise you, a group called Coalfire, and interviewed commercial organizations. 47% had no passcode in the mobile devices, and 51% of those organizations couldn't do any remote wipe. So if you're a federal IT professional and you're beating your head against the wall saying, oh, woe is me, we're behind the times, well, a lot of folks are behind the times.
It's highly variable. I mean, I'll tell you, you pick any industry out there, you will see people at the most progressive points and the most immature points. And most people are somewhere in the middle. The best practices, and this is the fun part, the best practices are being developed on the fly right now, right? So there's every day is a new discovery, if you will, if you're a mobile IT professional.
I've got a question about the federal world. You've done a lot of work in the commercial world. You've kind of have some experience in the federal world. How do you compare them as far as managing mobile devices? You know, in some areas, I would suggest that maybe some federal folks lead, and some areas are kind of behind. From your perspective, where do you think we stand here?
Mm-hmm. So let me leave defense aside for one sec, and we'll come back to defense. If I look at the civilian agencies in terms of their needs are actually very similar to what we're seeing on the commercial side. So healthcare on commercial versus healthcare.
Exactly.
It's the same.
Same people.
Right? Yeah. And the reason that it's the same is not only that organizations are moving at a similar pace, but in the end, this is driven by the user. And the user is the employee. The employee of the agency in a healthcare institution is exactly the same as the employee of the commercial or the private healthcare institution. They want the same thing. And so it's that groundswell that's driving action. So overall, what we've seen is that many of the needs and many of the processes that are being put in place across government and commercial are in these early days of mobile pretty similar. What we'll find is as mobile matures, they'll start to diverge because the needs will be different.
Mobileiron.com is the website. I assume you get blogs there and white papers and
all kinds of stuff.
So what is the differentiator that Mobileiron brings? What do they bring to our listeners? Why are they different from other companies?
Mm-hmm. So what differentiates Mobileiron is that we have our core platform was purpose-built for mobile IT. So from day one, multi-OS applications, multiple layers of security, these were all built into the product. So we didn't repurpose our technology from older technologies, and that gave us a clean slate. So our ability to serve new operating systems is very fast, and our ability to serve apps is very strong.
We'll have to take a quick break when we come back, talk more about Mobileiron and managing mobile devices. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Ojas Rege, Vice President of Strategy at Mobileiron. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ojas Rege, Vice President Strategy, Mobileiron. For more information, you go to mobileiron.com. You have a webinar coming up in mid-September, but if you're listening to this when there's snow on the ground, there's all kinds of webinars. What's webinar in mid-September there?
Well, healthcare has been one of the big areas of mobile adoption. One of the first, honestly, healthcare was one of the leading edge, right? I mean, you can just see how mobile can improve patient care. So we're doing a webinar on September 12th with one of the leading pediatric institutions in the U.S., and we're going to talk about the role of iPad. They're going to share the six apps that they've built internally, how they've deployed those to their 1,000 iPads, and most importantly, what impact that's had on their patient community, which is kids, as well as their administrative and nursing staff.
Of course, it's a big push. It's a big push in so many areas. Many listeners know these facts, and everyone knows the facts. I mean, there's more people in the world today that have a mobile phone than a toothbrush. We know that, you know. I mean, look, the numbers, 4 to 5 Americans own cell phones. Half of those have smartphones, and 25% of those go online with phones. And when I think of human beings and people in college and going on phones and having employees that go on phones, I would think there's got to be some kind of a policy that people have to have. Now, each one of the agencies that are listening, they may develop their own policy, which, you know, maybe kind of confusing. And what's happened is the federal government has tried to step in and come up with best practices for setting up policies. But maybe some of the solutions that Mobileiron provides can eliminate some of that by incorporating policies into some kind of a scalable format. Is that right? Or how does Mobileiron work?
Absolutely. So we have customers across so many different regions of the world, so many different industries. And every single industry, every single agency, every single institution is going to have different policies. That's just the nature of the beast. Because some are going to be under more regulation than others, some are going to have more confidential information than others, and some are just operating in regions of the country or of the world that have different policies. The way that Mobileiron solves that problem is we have a very very powerful policy engine at the core of the product. So you, as a customer of Mobileiron, can set policies, security policies, privacy policies, application policies that are not just specific to your entire employee base, but you can even slice them and dice them by the type of device, by whether the device is owned by the user or owned by the institution, by where that employee is traveling. So that's really the guts of it, which is you're never going to have one policy that fits everyone in your organization. So the platform underneath, the security management platform, needs to be able to give you the ability to divide that in pieces.
Now, back in my security days, it was called role-based authorization.
That's exactly
RBAs.
What it is.
That's, yeah, role-based, and that's an old funny word, but maybe applied here.
Hmm? It's true, and I would say maybe the word to add to that is identity. So this is identity-based. Users have an identity, devices have an identity, and based on that identity, you will provide certain services and you won't provide others. So for example, our CFO at Mobileiron, clearly we can trust him with any data we have. His identity means that he can get any application. But if he's on a device that's not secure,
it's going to be pulled back.
Exactly.
Of course, that
right?
makes sense.
So
doesn't
both
it?
Pieces matter.
I can't help but every time I turn on my computer, Google News, it shows images from Mars. And it kind of looks like being out west, the big deserts out there. And when I think of Mars, I think of NASA. And up at NASA, they have very interesting applications of mobile devices. Maybe they were the leading edge here in the federal government. And they have an app store for apps that are from non-NASA approved. Kind of interesting concept. Perhaps you can explain what an app store is and how it fits in for my federal listeners, please.
Well, the nice thing about app stores is that all of us are consumers at heart, And so many of the people listening to this have a smartphone or have a tablet. So you know what a consumer app store looks like. You've gone to the Apple App Store or Google Play, which is Android's app store, and there's a wealth of applications. You decide which one to download. You click download, and there you've got it. You know, and for me, it could be a productivity app, or it could be my son's construction truck game right on my iPad. An enterprise app store or a private app store, an institutional app store, you'll hear all these different terms. It all means the same thing. It means that you have an app store that's very similar to the ones that you're used to on the consumer side, but it's specific to your organization. So it's private to your agency, your department. That means that you as an IT administrator can post applications to that and make those available to your employees based on, as we talked about before, the roles and identities of those employees. Key thing here, in order for that to be successful, the user experience has to be as wonderful, as smooth, as fast as what the user is used to on the consumer side. They're used to consumer. That's what sets the expectation. So their private app store has got to have that similarly fantastic experience.
Well, here's a funny question. I'm just putting two and two together here. In a typical office, you'd see a desk or cubicles with desktop phones. I can almost see that if an agency gets to the point where they can manage their mobile devices effectively and control them, well, that may replace some desktop phones and save money. So the question is, well, we got to spend all this money on managing mobile devices. We looked at all these three products. Well, guess what? You may not need all those desktop phones anymore.
So one way to think about it is just look at our households. 20% of U.S. households no longer have a landline. Right? We're getting used to that in our own houses. I don't have a desk phone at the office, and arguably there's no reason for me to, because I think I'm probably at my desk 10% of the day.
You know, from the perspective of managing mobile devices, I would say number one is how to manage the loss of a personal device. If my agency owns a device and I give it to you, that's one thing. If you waltz into my office and I've got to include you on the network and you lose your device, that's all of a sudden we have policy question here, huh?
There's a basic policy question around privacy and data separation. The key thing that everyone thinks about in these environments that people refer to as BYOD, right, bring your own device, is that I now have an employee who's brought their own technology to the office. That technology has personal information on it, that platform, and it's got professional information. How do you make that work? There's two things, there's 100 things, but there's two core things that you've got to do. One is from the policy side, you have to establish and, even more importantly, communicate the core privacy and security policy. The user needs to understand under what circumstances you're going to take actions and what the implications of those actions are. If you don't communicate that effectively, it'll fail. The second side of it is, of course, is the technology to support that policy. So what do you need to have? The management and security platform, like MobileIron, needs to be able to implement the privacy policy that you set. Privacy is, what is IT going to look at on your device and what are they not going to look at, right? That's really key to separate that out. The second set of functionality that the underlying platform needs to have is it needs to be able to take selective actions. So if you, for example, leave the agency or you lose your phone in a taxi, it must be possible just to wipe the business data, right, the government data off that phone and not touch the rest.
As I walked in the studio, I saw someone walking a dog. Not my dog Fluffy's pictures, but anything else regarding the business can be wiped.
Yeah.
Now, that's tricky.
It used to be very tricky. Now it is absolutely technically not only possible, but broadly deployed. So I'll give you an example for what happens within MobileIron. Because literally every single one of our 3,000 customers does this. They set up policies within MobileIron. So the email profile on the device is managed by MobileIron, not the Gmail profile, not the Yahoo Mail, the other, just the corporate email profile. The Wi-Fi connection, the VPN connection, all of the enterprise apps, those are all managed through MobileIron. What that means is if the user leaves or something happens, you pull through MobileIron that entire enterprise persona. It's the best way to think about it. You pull the enterprise persona, and what you're left with is that pure consumer device that you had before. That's really the key here, because most organizations, if the user owns the device, they don't want to know what's on the rest of that device. They don't want to take liability for any of that. They just want to make sure they can protect their data, right? The agency data.
From a legal perspective, if I'm managing you and 10 other people, and bad things are happening on your phone, I don't want to be responsible. I mean, what about a whole legal issues here that I never even dreamed of?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is where mobile is different in many ways. The challenges are different than the desktop. Every legal team in every organization, you know, public or private institution, is thinking through this issue, which is when a user has a personal device, is the institution more or less liable for the actions the user takes? So arguably, if it's a corporate device, whatever websites the user goes to, the apps they download, they were texting while they were driving, you know, arguably maybe there's liability.
You know, when I had a desktop machine, I never picked it up and carried it to a Redskins game and took a picture with it. So we'd have to worry about a policy 10 years ago,
but now you have to.
But
here's the way many of our customers have come down on this one. They've said, we are obligated to protect the data, right? The proprietary data on the device. But if the user is using their personal device for other things, we don't need to know about them, and we don't need to do anything about them.
Have to take a quick break and talk more about managing mobile devices. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are speaking with Ojas Rege, Vice President of Strategy at MobileIron. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ojas Rege, Vice President Strategy, MobileIron, and we're talking about a little mobile madness today and how federal IT professionals can maybe get a little information, maybe toss them a bone about how to manage devices and learn different things. Earlier, we talked about MobileIron.com. They have webinars available, and those are all archived. You can go there in the middle of winter and look about, I think, healthcare IT, managing mobile devices from that perspective. But I think a lot of my listeners maybe listen online. Sometimes they follow, you know, they tweet and they follow people who tweet and they read blogs. And I have a blog, and my blog is at Armature, and you can read it. I blog about this interview. Do you have a blog, Ojas, or do you recommend a blog for people to read?
Yeah, I do actually have a blog. I have a blog on the MobileIron site. Also tweet a lot about what I'm hearing from customers and what I'm hearing in the market. But there are a lot of really interesting mobile blogs right now, I got to tell you. Probably my favorite one that talks about a lot of the issues that I think are relevant to the audience here, you know, security, how the underlying technologies are building out and developing, is actually a Twitter feed from a guy named Galen Grumman. So his Twitter handle is Mobile Galen, MobileGalen.
Ooh, like the ancient medical guy.
Yes, yes. So that's a very insightful one. And I'll tell you, I get my, you know, quick gadget fix out of Engadget and a little bit of TechCrunch here and there as well. But I like
it's funny. Each vertical market has people that are experts that you'd never think in healthcare IT. There's a guy in Seattle who everyone follows.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's some people just have a knack for condensing things into a link and 140 characters,
well,
or
you know,
132 characters.
Absolutely. And what I've always liked about it, the best blogs are always the ones you may not agree with all the time, right? But they're going to make you think. And they're always going to take a position that they believe in. And that's what moves the market forward.
The White House has taken a position on mobile, and a very aggressive position. Back in May, they had a document called The Digital Government Building the 21st Century Platform to Better Serve the American People. Wow, that's quite an impressive document. But if you read through that, you do the word count on mobile, it's mobile. I mean, it's incredible. And we had the guys in from vaccines.gov, and they said they surveyed their potential audience, and a lot of the potential audience were homeless people. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, how do you want your information? And they wanted the information in mobile format. So let me get this straight. You don't have a house, you don't have a car, you're not eating, and you have a mobile device. Yep. And so they did. And so I see, you know, the federal government's this huge, big boat churning in the water, but it's turning and it's slowly turning. And I think May 23rd was one indication of that. And here we have the CEO Council that releases government-wide BYOD guidance. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm seeing out there is, you brought it to light perfectly, which is mobile is more important than my food, my shelter, probably even my wallet. Right?
Not more important than my food, buddy, but maybe your food.
That's true. I guess since I work in the mobile industry, mobile does actually feed me.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. I'm a big fat guy, so I am worried.
But the CIO Council piece that you described on BYOD, I was really pleased to read that, because it has taken exactly the right view, I believe, of this trend, which is that it's all about offering choice. It's got to be cost effective, but in the end, it's about your customer. It's about your employee. It's about offering choice. And in the first generation of BYOD, where many people, I think, came at it the wrong way, is they said, oh, this is a way to save a lot of money. That's why we're going to do it. But BYOD is not a finance initiative, and it's not a technology initiative. In the end, it's an HR initiative. And you got to kind of get that right, right? Why do people want to use the tools they choose? And then what are you going to need to be able to provide them? So this is a good start at laying out some of the foundation for that.
The interesting topics in here, they talk about standards and security, important for Fed, govies, of course. Mobile procurement and device management, important right there. Another BYOD guidance that just came out and talked about impact on agencies. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to give enough flexibility. So if one agency has to have tighter regulations for mobile devices, another agency has to have, let's say, not as tight, there's got to be some flexibility in that approach.
There has to be flexibility because this world changes so rapidly. If you put down hard and fast rules, the only guarantee you've got is that they're going to be obsolete by the time you get them out there, right? And so I think in general, the best guidance that organizations are giving is here's the ends, right? Here's the guardrails. Here's the things that are really, really important for us to get right. Where you sit in the middle of that is really going to depend upon you, your business, your department, what you need to accomplish.
So they have case studies and best practices and policy samples. You know, my wife redesigned the kitchen here last year, and she read all these magazines on, well, here is a nice way to redesign the kitchen. Here's a triangle, here's a sink, and this is construct it any way you want. And then here's some samples of how to do it. And now you can do it any way you want. And no one's going to tell my wife how to design it. But I think, you know, take that silly little example and apply it to an agency saying, well, here's best practices and here's what the Department of Treasury uses and here's a policy you might want to look at. Well, tell you what, here's the state of Delaware. Well, if you want to take a look at this policy, this might be good for you. It's a, you know, you get together with some very bright people and you're not going to be able to persuade them easily. All you can do is give them some options and best choices and hopefully a product like Mobile Iron will allow them to implement those policies.
There's different ways to accomplish this. There's no doubt about it. I'll give you an example. About a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we saw people first start going down the BYOD path. Everyone would ask us the same questions. What should my user agreement be? How should I think about privacy? How should I think about policy? Which devices should I allow? And we found that because we were having that same conversation with so many different organizations, that we were building up a set of best practices. So what we ended up doing across the customer base, across the 3,000 customer bases and growing, really laying all that out into a toolkit that we were able to provide to our customers. So it actually has sample privacy policy, sample communication flows, sample staffing templates, sample help desk resourcing, all of those things. And none of those is going to be exactly what any one organization needs, but every one of those documents gets you 70% of the way there. And that last 30%, you can figure out based on what you need.
Tell you what, if I'm working for an agency and my boss comes into my office and pounds on the desk and she says, I want a policy next week on mobile devices, where do I start? I mean, I want to see, well, how did another agency do it? How did this person do it? How that? And then try to come up with, well, my agency is different because look, we're the Department of Census, the Census Bureau. We have people everywhere. It's got to be different from an organization that has most of its folks in one building or one city. So it has to be flexible and change.
It has to. And that reminds me, there was a bank not too far away from here. The lead IT person was visiting us out in California. And she had a deliverable to her boss. This was a Friday, right? She had a deliverable to her boss that next Tuesday to do exactly that, have a drafted BYOD policy.
Exactly like that, huh?
So we gave her the toolkit and she said, oh, this is great. I'm going to read this on the plane. By Sunday night, I'm going to have a policy. I'm going to go in there. He's going to be amazed because he's going, how did you think about that much stuff?
If you make an appointment with a lawyer and ask him to draw up a will, he's not going to get a piece of paper and a quill and start drawing with and no, he's going to look at the boilerplates and try to adapt it. But this is just so new. You're not going to get a boilerplate from 1995, not even from 2 years ago, especially with the devices that have just come on the market in the last 18 months.
Examples make a big difference. I think they inspire as well. So part of this is to give people the practical guidance of best practices. How do you do some of the fundamentals we're talking about? But if you move to apps, for example, a lot of that is to say, if I look at another agency and I see that they've built some really interesting HR applications or some really interesting field apps, that gets me thinking, right? And that's in my mind, that's what I find personally the most gratifying. It's not when someone says, okay, thanks to Mobile Iron, everything is secure. That's just step one, right? It's when they say, thanks to Mobile Iron, everything is secure. And now I've come up with a way to really change the way that people work in my agency. That's the fun
stuff. And adapt to equipment changes and adapt to who forecasts the iPad being so popular? No one that I know forecast. And I think it has to be some kind of a flexibility built into policies. And maybe a central policy can be more flexible than individual siloed policies for new products.
It's possible, but I had a conversation this morning. The International Legal Association was having a seminar down the street, and we were talking about a topic similar to this. And people said, can I have one consistent policy across my entire global law firm? And the answer is no, because no global organization, whether it's a government organization, a legal, whatever it is going to be able to have one policy. There's going to be standards, but the policies will vary because the regional needs are going to be different, the user needs are going to be different, and the trust level of both the device on one side and the data on the other side need to be able to match. And so different devices and different users will actually end up with different services.
We'll take a break. When we come back, talk more about managing mobile devices. Maybe have a question or two about operating system updates. Who manages that? Who's responsible? What happens if there's issues and problems with apps? What about when apps change and compatibility issues? There's so many questions, and we don't have much time. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ojas Rege, Vice President Strategy at Mobile Iron. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ojas Rege, Vice President of Strategy at a company called Mobile Iron. No, it does not sell iron. It helps you manage mobile devices. Why'd they call it Mobile Iron? I never thought of asking that question.
Well, there's two things that you think about when you're starting a company. One is, what does the name mean? And secondly is, can I get the URL?
Oh, I see. More important. Yeah. So it was available, so you took it.
Exactly. We wanted a real name. You know, there's so many fake names out there. We wanted a real name that meant something. We were all about mobile. We were all about core security, kind of solid, give you the foundation. Mobile Iron.
It works great on radio, I tell you that much, you know? I had the same problem. I tried to get at John Gilroy for my Twitter handle. Some Irish politician took it, so I had to come up with the name Ray Gilroy. It rhymes, so I figure, you know, my Twitter follows. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Ray Gilroy. What's your Twitter handle?
It's at O-Rege, O-R-E-G-E.
O-Rege. Are you from the islands, man? That's what it sounds
like.
O-R-E-G-E to learn more about Mobile Iron and managing mobile devices. Well, this is the part in the show that's mandatory, where I ask my guests 10 questions. We find out if, in fact, they are a card-carrying nerd. And because a lot of my listeners are going, well, he kind of sounds, you know, maybe he's a nerd, maybe he's not. Let's see what's got going. So I'm going to ask you the 10 questions. First question, when did you buy your first computer?
My first personal computer I got in the mid-90s. My first computer was Project Athena at MIT, which was the back-end Unix infrastructure that ran all the computing
services. You get big points for that, buddy. You get plus 100 points for that one.
That was 1983.
83, yeah, that is huge, huge points. That's almost as good as a guy with the Apple II and he knew the serial number. Your first cell phone.
First cell phone, also mid-90s. But I'll tell you, I don't remember my first cell phone, but I remember my first Palm, which was the Palm 3.
Okay. And, you know, we just talked, you do have a Twitter feed, and you have a blog at Mobile Iron.
Yeah. The Mobile Iron blog is mine.
Is it just yours, a special name? Okay. And what kind of online personal backup service do you use?
I use iCloud. You know, tell you, I'm not using much more than that right now for my personal stuff.
Okay. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have, as you might imagine, being in the mobile industry, 3 right now.
Well, la-di-da, you're trying to get a lot of points for this interview, aren't you?
I'm trying to get extra.
Wow, I have 3.
I hope there's a score on this. So the last couple of months, I've been playing around with a HTC Windows phone device. Mm-hmm. I've got an iPad that I've got a lot of my apps on, and I've also got a Verizon Droid phone.
And number of apps on your Droid?
On my Droid, not that many. I've got to tell you, I've been using the iPad mostly for apps. If I count up all the apps on the device on that particular device, I think I've got about 150. But those are split between about 30 for me and 120 for my son. They're all construction and airplane games.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I assume the tablet device you have is an iPad.
Yeah.
What social networking sites do you participate in?
I am constantly on Facebook, constantly on Twitter, and every now and then poke into LinkedIn.
And the last book read, was it electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Whoa, you were so close. You were so close to being a card-carrying nerd.
It was Neal Stephenson, who is probably the ultimate author for nerddom, because he wrote a book called Snow Crash.
Years ago.
Yeah, which was the first book about virtual reality.
My. That's interesting. I'll have to put this through my UNIVAC computer in my basement.
See what it squirts spits
out? Yeah. We'll probably have all the houses in my neighborhood, you know, lose power after I plug the UNIVAC in, and we'll see what you rank as far as that goes. If you pick up the newspapers, if you pick up the websites for the federal government, you find out that the USDA is looking at managing mobile devices. They have a pilot out there with 3,000 devices, and they're looking at managing 100,000 mobile devices. Now, that just, I don't know, it seems like a whole lot to me. Maybe I'm naive, but 100,000 devices? I mean, does your software scale that high, or do you bail out at 10,000 devices?
No.
Or where's the rule here?
Absolutely. You know, that kind of scale is going to be normal scale for mobile. So one mobile iron server can serve 100,000 devices.
Whoa.
At massive load. And here's the way that we've thought about this, which is, I mean, just if you just look at what's happening, you brought up some stats earlier about smartphones. By the end of 2015, there will be more than 1 billion people in the world that are using a smart device for work. So that means basically almost the entire white-collar population, the knowledge worker population in the world, is going to be on these devices. And if you look at your average large global 2000 organization, you're not talking now about just the 10,000 people that had BlackBerrys. You're talking about 60, 70, 80% of the employee base. Their primary interface to the company is going to be a smart device. So you're going to have organizations where 100,000 actually seems low. Right?
I can remember 7, 8 years ago, if you're in a restaurant and someone had a BlackBerry, they were, you know, they were in Capitol Hill and they were connected and they, you know, they were really high level people. Now, guys who's painting my house has got an iPhone. I mean, it's everywhere, and not just knowledge workers. Like I said, if I have a plumber come out to my house, if I have a carpet guy come out, if I have a flooring guy, guess what? That's how they manage everything. It's not just, maybe the knowledge is knowing how to put paint on a wall. Maybe that's a knowledge worker.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at it, you brought up the notion that more people had phones than toothbrushes, right? So you now have something which is arguably the single most vital piece of equipment you have in your life. It's more important than your car. Because if you don't have your car, you can get around. You don't have your smartphone. You don't have the basics of your business. You don't have a way to communicate, right? They're fundamental needs that you cannot meet. And I think that's the change. And here's what we've seen, what I've seen certainly in our customers over the last 2 years, which is what has driven mobile into these organizations where they're looking at 100,000 devices is not actually the IT department saying, we got to go mobile.
It's the other way. Yeah.
It's the user saying, I want mobile. I want it, right? This is my expectation. This is what I want. And so it's come from the ground up and from the top down, honestly, because a lot of the senior folks in all these institutions and all these agencies have actually been interested in mobile for themselves.
One of the strengths of your company, Mobile Iron, is its ability to work with multiple operating systems. So you, of course, have to have, you know, you got to be able to piano and you play the organ and you can play the guitar. So you can play a lot of different instruments, a lot of different machines. From my perspective, Apple seems like it's more difficult to manage than devices like the Android because of a lot of security characteristics inherent in Apple. Is that the case, or am I just misstating it?
Well, Apple's ahead of Android right now in the enterprise because it actually came out with core capabilities like encryption before Android did. So all operating systems have an evolution. We call it the rule of three, which is the first two generations of any of these operating systems are very consumer-centric, right? They don't even think about enterprise, right? Because if you don't win the consumer market, the enterprise market, the commercial markets, the government markets, it doesn't matter. Once they get a foothold in the third generation, suddenly they start putting in place capabilities like encryption, right? You know, the basics of security. And that's when things start moving forward. So Apple hit that point in 2009. Android hit that point about a year ago. And there's certain Android manufacturers like Samsung that have been doing special investments in really improving the security capabilities of their devices. So they are different operating systems, though, and Android itself is quite fractured. So it requires the mobile team in any organization to become really knowledgeable really fast about the differences. What we do from a Mobile Iron perspective, we support all of those. So we kind of do the hard work in the back so that our customers don't have to. We figure out what the differences are between the operating systems and then take the right actions.
I can remember when Apple tried to break into the enterprise area with servers, failed miserably. I mean, Apple's failed at a lot of stuff. I mean, they don't always hit home runs. But when they hit a home run, they hit it out of the park. And you know and I know that they try to go in that enterprise area, maybe the step 3, 1, 2, 3, and failed. And they just have such overwhelming success with the other devices that allows them to move into the enterprise, maybe learn from their mistakes.
It's all about user experience. If there's one thing that mobile should have taught every IT organization, is that you put in place fantastic security policies that compromise user experience, the project will fail. You've got to start with user experience and then figure out how to secure it instead of saying, here's my security policy. Now, what experience does that let me attain?
It's funny. I asked one of my students to go to a website. First thing she did was picked out her smartphone, fired up, took a look. Never even dawned on her. Go back to her office, turn on her desktop computer, wait for it to boot up, make sure security, username and password, and go to the website. Never even dawned on her. And I think anyone under probably 35, it's not even... It's like asking if you know what do you eat breakfast every morning or something. It's just there. It's what you do. Yeah, I woke up this morning to a smartphone going off. So I guess my claim to fame at 5:30 this morning.
Well, I think the majority of Americans, if I'm not mistaken, sleep with their phone next to their bed now.
That's a new trick. That's interesting. We are running out of time. I'd like to have you come back in the future and talk more about the future of mobile and the future about managing these a large number of devices, which probably is a whole topic in and of itself. Apps versus HTML5, I didn't need to ask you about. Didn't want to ask you about friend devices and all kinds of different topics, but maybe the next time you're in town, you can stop in. We can do another interview. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we had a discussion about managing mobile devices with Ojas Rege, Vice President of Strategy at MobileIron.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.